Now, if you've been with us since last Sunday, we began a consideration of Luke and chapter 5. And in that particular passage, we learn, first and foremost, an account of Peter's last day as a fisherman. That on this particular day, the events that took place, that it was the day in which the Lord Jesus called Peter and commissioned him and told him that he was going to become, from henceforth, a fisher of men. And today I would like us to continue with that consideration and to be able to see a few other things that we were not able to see last week. So first and foremost, remember that in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ performs a miracle. And then as he performs that miracle, he says to Peter, in the same way in which you have been able to catch that great number of fish, by the grace of God, you will be able to catch men for God, to bring men, women, boys, and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, as we study the life of the Apostle Peter, we learn in the book of Acts how on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached, that God was gracious and blessed that preaching of God's word. And on that occasion, we read that there were 3,000 people who turned from their sin and embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. So we will start then by just recounting some of the things that we noticed last week. That on this occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ, as was his custom, was preaching to the masses. He was preaching to the people. And it so happened that it was by the seashore that he was preaching to them. And the scriptures tell us that the people were pressing upon him. The crowds were pressing upon him. And there were two boats there, one of them belonging to Peter. And he says to Peter, let me get into the boat. And he moved a little distance from the people so he could be able to address them. If you like, he was using Peter's boat as a kind of pulpit, as a kind of platform, so that his voice could carry and everybody who was gathered on that shore could be able to hear him. And at the conclusion of that sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ turned to Peter. Remember, Peter was a professional fisherman, and said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Peter, being a professional fisherman, remember what he says to the Lord. He says, look, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. Remember, we say that in that culture, that they used to fish. If you want to be successful as a fisherman, you would need to learn to fish at night, because the kind of nets that they were using were quite visible. And if you're going to be fishing during the day, the fish will see the net and avoid it, and you won't be able to catch anything. That's the reason why Peter and his fellow fishermen would be fishing in the night. And so he says to Christ, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. And you can imagine, if he had been doing the night duty, that he may have been quite tired and perhaps a little bit unwilling because of feeling tired. And then he says, but at your word, that's what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, at your word, I will let down the net. And so then, I would like us to pause there for a moment, because there is a lesson there that we can learn from the response of the Apostle Peter to the suggestion, the strange suggestion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the response of Peter is a response of faith, a faith that leads to obedience. Now, Peter has what one might term a legitimate excuse. He has done the night duty, and obviously, physically, he may be tired. And so then to ask him during the day to do the same thing that he was doing in the night was obviously a bit too much. But then he says, "But at your word, I will let down the net." And that is the lesson that we are supposed to learn as God's people. It is the response of faith. It is the faith that leads to obedience. In other words, we learn from the response of Peter that this is the mark of every true disciple of the Lord Jesus. What's that mark? It is that a true disciple of the Lord Jesus is that individual, it's that person who is looking for a way to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That whatever it is that the Lord Jesus Christ says to us in the Bible, that is what the true disciple of Christ would like to do. And as I have already said, you may have your excuses, but what is important is that at the end of the day, after you have given your excuses, you will need to go ahead and do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ commands you and me to do. So Peter did not just give an excuse. He then turns around and says, "But at your command, at your word, I will let down the net." Because of who you are, because of what you have said, I will let down the net. And I would like to impress it upon your minds, beloved brothers and sisters, that should be the attitude, that should be the disposition of your life, that you are one who is looking for ways and means to obey the Bible, to obey the Word of God in your life. You remember elsewhere that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And therefore, it is incumbent upon every person who regards himself or herself as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that you are looking for ways to obey God's word in your life. Now, unfortunately, many of the people who come to church, that their lives are full of excuses rather than full of obedience to God's word. And the Apostle Peter here is a very good example to us. He gives us an example that we must emulate, that if we are going to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus, this is how our lives must be shaped. This is how we must live in this day and in this age. See, to be a Christian, to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, is not just that you have a story of how once upon a time you heard God's word preached and perhaps you were convicted and then you called upon the name of the Lord. You embraced the Lord Jesus. You gave your life to him. That's very good if you have a testimony of how Christ called you. But the really important question is, now, How are you with respect to obedience? Has your faith, the faith that you have in Christ, is it a faith that is leading you to obey God's word on a daily basis? Are you like the Apostle Peter, who says, we have toiled all night, so that naturally I am quite disinclined to do this. But because you have said it, because of your word, and your word means so much for me, I will do it. That is what it means to be a disciple. That is what it means that you have faith in the Lord Jesus. It is a faith that leads to obedience. A faith that produces obedience in your ordinary life. And it's quite interesting here, because you will notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ tells Peter what to do, it is not something that's spiritual, so to speak. I mean, he's not saying to Peter, okay, Peter, let's go and preach the word. Or Peter, let's go and pray. Or Peter, let's go and read God's word. The sort of things that we would have expected the Lord Jesus Christ to say. What the Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter here is something that's ordinary, something that you do because of your calling. And in this case, Peter was a fisherman, and the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, go ahead, let down your nets, and go and get a catch. And Peter says to Christ, we have toiled all night, but at your word, I will do this. So, what's your attitude towards the word of Christ in your own life today? Is that the way you are living your life in 2019? That you are saying to yourself every day as you wake up, every morning as you wake up, Lord, what are you saying to me that I must do? What is your word to me so that I might obey? Remember the story of Samuel, the child in the temple, and the word of God comes to him, and he's not aware that this is God's word. He goes to the older priest, Eli, and says to him, you know, you called me. And Eli recognizes that God is speaking to Samuel. And he says to him, when you hear his voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude to the word of God, to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus is not going to speak to you physically. He speaks to you through his word, through the Bible. As you sit there listening to the preached word, it is the Lord Jesus Christ seeking to speak to you, seeking to direct you in one area or other in your own life. Are you longing to hear his voice? And more importantly, are you willing to obey the voice of the shepherd? That's what we learn from Peter. And this is what Peter tells us what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. It is one who is listening for his word and willing to obey God's word. I hope that your religion, your Christianity, is not one that is characterized by a whole host of excuses why you can't do something that is clearly a command to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people say, you know, I would like to do that, but I can't do this because of my wife. I wish that she couldn't do ABC. Or I can't do this because of my husband. Or, I can't do this because of the children. You don't understand. Or, I can't do this for whatever other reason because of my parents. At the end of the day, does the word of God, does the word of the Lord Jesus carry weight in your life? Do you, and are you able to say with Peter, at your word, dear Lord Jesus, I'm going to do this. I have my excuses, but because now I have become aware that this is what you demand from me, I will do it. To do it, not because I'm inclined to do it, but because you said it. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It only matters that you said it. And because you said it, that settles it. I'm going to do it. That is what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to emphasize this. And you can make this as a real test in your own life. You know? The Word of God says, for instance, that if anything that causes you to sin, cut it off. He says it is better for you to enter heaven without one hand than to go into hell with both hands. Pluck your eye. He says, and he is speaking about mortification or putting to death whatever is sinful in your own life. And the application to you this morning is, are you doing that? Are you actively seeking to put into practice God's word in your own life? You see, there are so many people who are religious and come to church. There are very few people who are listening and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That is why the Lord Jesus warns, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that, what's the will of God? The will of God is that you should be obedient to God's word. That you should be looking out to hear the voice of Jesus. That as you read and study God's word, that is what you are concerned for. You are saying to yourself, Lord, speak to me, so that I might obey you, that I might do what you are telling me to do. You see, the greatest blessing, the greatest privilege that any human being can ever hear or receive while on this in this world is the blessing of hearing the voice of God. Now, I don't mean by that you're going to be able to hear an audible voice from heaven speaking to you. I mean the word of God as it has been preserved for you and me in the Bible. It is the greatest privilege that you can ever have. But with that privilege comes awesome responsibility. And the responsibility is whether you obey what God says you should do. Are you careful to obey, to put into practice, to do the things that the Bible says do? You see, one of the things that some people find difficulty with the Bible is that they oftentimes complain that they don't understand the Bible. that might be true. And it might be true because the things that you already understand, you are not doing. And because you're not doing the things you already understand, God says, why should I tell you more? Why should I tell you more? Unless the things you already know, you are taking care to put into practice, there's no reason why you should want to know more. So God doesn't just speak to us just to tickle our ears. God speaks to us because he means business. And if we also mean business with him, we must be like Peter. Peter says to the Lord Jesus Christ, at your word, at your command, even though I am tired, even though I spent a whole night and I caught nothing, and I'm naturally disinclined to go back there, and this is a heavy thing to put back into the sea, even at the sight of all those legitimate excuses, at your command, I will. That is true Christianity. Hearing and obeying God's word. So when you go home at the conclusion of this service, don't let other things cloud into your mind and make you forgetful. The most important question you're going to say to yourself, what has God spoken to me about today? Take care to note to yourself what lesson God has brought to you. Don't just go ahead and you know, that's it. We are done with the service, and then you go on with the rest of your life without taking account of what God is saying to you, of what God is teaching you. And once you find what it is that God is saying to you, do it. Say to yourself, because it is God's word, I will do it. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter how disinclined I may be towards it. I will do it because God said it. That, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the attitude, is the nature, it is the fruit, it is the sign of a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we are gathered here, so that we might learn what Christ is saying to us. And in learning what he's saying to us, we may be able to do it. But this also speaks against us. We very easily give excuses when we find out what God's word says. We give in to some kind of excuse. You know, I think that God understands. No, he doesn't. He speaks to you because he means for you to obey him. Now imagine if you, as a parent, you know, and you say something to your children. And every time you say something to your children, you know, your children don't do it. And they give you one excuse or another. All the time, they're giving excuses. How are you going to put up with that kind of behavior? You will say to your children, look, the only way you're going to live in my house is if you obey what I say. Otherwise, you may need to find some other place where you can live without hearing my voice. Because here, while you are here, the condition for you being here, you have to hear and obey what I say. So why do we think that God should understand if we give our excuses? The same way. Why do you call him Lord and then do not show in your obedience that he is Lord. You do not show by obeying the Lord. That's what it means that he is Lord. It means his word has precedence over what you think, over your excuses. His word is law in your life. That is what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it condemns the religion we have, a religion of excuses. Because those excuses will not suffice on the last day. Those excuses will not stand on the last day. Those excuses will put you in great jeopardy if you do not abandon them and embrace the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. So make that your prayer. Make that your great ambition for 2019. Lord Jesus, give me a heart that is willing to obey you in spite of my excuses, in spite of my legitimate excuses. Give me grace. Give me a heart that longs to obey you, whatever the consequences may be. That is the nature of a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. One who is willing to obey God's word. But then secondly, and this is something that we saw last week, as a result of Peter's obedience, there was this remarkable miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. The Lord Jesus Christ filled Peter's net with fish. We are told there in the gospel narrative that there was so much fish they could not contain. They said the net were even tearing, and the boats were almost sinking. It was such a remarkable miracle, and the Apostle Peter, as well as all the other disciples, recognized it as such. And thankfully, when they recognized that it was a miracle, they didn't just say, "Wow, how did you catch all these fish suddenly? Look, our business is going to be succeeding. We're going to make lots of money." That's not the way they responded. Their response was that they saw perhaps for the very first time, they saw who Jesus really is. God incarnate. One who has come from heaven and has come into this world to be the Redeemer of God's people. And notice Peter, as soon as he became aware of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, he also became aware of who he truly is. Now, this is very interesting. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of from Greek mythology, of that person who, looking into a reflection of himself in water, he fell in love with himself. What was his name? Huh? Yes, that is where we find the word narcissist. What that means is that this guy fell in love with his image and was so enamored with himself, he couldn't move from that place until he died right there in situ. That's what sin has done to us. See what sin does? Sin turns our eyes away from God to look at ourselves and compare ourselves with other sinners. You see? And yet, what the scriptures tell us here, that if we want to have a true estimate of ourselves, the best way to have a true estimate of ourselves is to look away from ourselves, to look to God. And as we know God, or as God is pleased to reveal himself to us, then we get to know who we truly are. That's the story we find in the whole Bible. That's the story of Isaiah. Isaiah saw and he met God. And as he saw God in such magnificent light, the clearer the vision of God was to Isaiah, the clearer it was clear to him what a terrible sinner that he was. So my friends, if you want to know yourself, you need to look away from yourself and look to God. Don't pat yourself on the back, because when you compare yourself with others, you still think that at least I'm better than he, I'm better than her. Look to God. Look to the Lord Jesus. And if God is pleased to open your eyes to see God, to see Christ as he truly is, then you will become aware of what you truly are. One who is lost, one who is undone, one who is ashamed and embarrassed because you are a sinner who is offensive in the sight of God. But God is gracious. God is merciful. Their Lord Jesus Christ here did not say to Peter, "Oh, okay, I was thinking as much. I'm going to leave you." Because he is gracious. He comes to Peter and says, "I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. I'm going to make you into something else. Peter, you may be depraved. You may be sinful. But by my grace, I am going to transform you and place into your heart the fear of God and then send you to save me. To be a fisher of men." What that tells us, friends, is that if we are going to be a church or a group of people who are taking the message of Christ to others, then we need something of what Peter saw. It is a prerequisite to know Christ before you can tell others about Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter, "Now that you have seen me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to send you to bring others into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus." But let me rush on to the conclusion of that passage. It says there, in verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And verse 11, so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all, or they left everything and followed him. So the question I want to answer as we come to a close this morning is this: what does it mean that they forsook all, or that they left everything? That's a very important question, especially to answer in our own day. Because at the end of the day, once again, you'll see, this is what it truly means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. If you were to ask, according to this passage, who is a true disciple of the Lord Jesus? It is one who is willing to obey the voice of the Lord Jesus as it is found in the Bible. But secondly, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus is one who is willing to forsake everything for the sake of Christ. And the question that comes to us is obvious. Are we such people? Are we such people who are willing to forsake everything for the sake of Christ? It's very instructive in this passage that when it says they forsook everything, it means they forsook their livelihood. These were fishermen. This was the end of Peter being a professional fisherman. He forsook all and committed himself to Christ and to the cause of Christ. This is what it means that Jesus is Lord. It means that Jesus is Lord even over your career. He is Lord. His word must be law in your own life. His word must carry weight as you consider everything in your life, including your career. Here, Peter and James and John, we are told, they abandoned everything and they gave themselves completely to the cause of Christ and to be his apostles. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us very clearly, he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must love me more than your wife. You must love me more than your husband, more than your children, more than anything else. Otherwise, he says, you cannot be my disciple. And beloved friends, we have to reckon with that fact. Either Jesus is Lord in the whole spectrum of your life, or he is not. There's no half-heartedness. He either is Lord or he is not. That's what he himself says. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. You must love me more than yourself, more than your wife, more than your husband, more than your children. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Peter was not only willing to give up himself, he was willing to give up his career and say to the Lord Jesus, do with me whatever you want me to be. Now, it doesn't mean that Peter did not fail. We read that he denied Christ three times, but the Lord Jesus returned to him, renewed him in repentance, and made him the apostle that we know he became. And Simon Peter was a fruitful apostle. We find him preaching on the day of Pentecost, and thousands of people turning their lives to Christ and becoming Christians. He became a fisher of men. The choice that you have is this. Either you are going to be the main star of your life, or Jesus is going to be the main star in your life. Now, if you become the main star of your life, you have the right to do that. Go ahead and do it. But at the end of the day, when you die, that's it. Your star has dimmed. But if the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the star of your life, Even when you die, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the star, he will shine forever and ever and ever in your life. So which would you rather be? To enjoy the best years now, and then when you die, that's it? Or to deny yourself and make sure that Jesus Christ is the star in your life, and then to live forever and ever and ever? The choice is yours. Either you leave all and Jesus becomes the star, and you take the subordinate role and say to him, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? Or become the star of your own life and enjoy the life that now is. But that's all you're going to have at the end of the day. That's all. This is the call of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your life. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to self-denial. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, like he said in the days of his flesh, he who comes to me must deny himself, carry his own cross, or you cannot be my disciple. At the beginning of 2019, the Lord Jesus is calling you, and he is saying to you, will you be my disciple? Like Peter, like James and John, are you willing to forsake all and give your life, dedicate your life, and say to the Lord Jesus, take me and do with me whatever seems good in your sight. Be the star. Take the starring law in my own life and lead me wherever you will. That is what it means to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. So, are you a true disciple of the Lord Jesus? You have an opportunity once again in the light of God's word to you to evaluate your life and experience in light of God's word. Are you that disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for? Or, truthfully speaking, you are a disciple of your own excuses. Because every time it's the excuses that have the day in your life, not the word of the Lord Jesus. And if that be the case, my beloved friends, I want to say to you, without fear or favor, you are deceiving yourself. If God's word is not having sway in your life, it's the excuses that keep having sway in your life. You are not that disciple of Christ yet. You need, once again, to evaluate your life in light of God's word and say to him, Lord Jesus, please don't let me be deceived. I need you to be Lord in my life. I need you to be the starring one in my life. I don't want to be the star of my own life. Let Jesus be the star. Let him take me wherever he will. Let him guide me. Let him dictate the agenda. Not anything else. Not anyone else. That's the call of the Lord Jesus to you from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? I leave that message to you and ask you to seriously consider that. I leave it to your conscience between you and God. Are you the disciple that Jesus is looking for? May God be gracious to all of us, that at the end of the day, we may be able to say, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. I give my life to Christ.